to Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, here we go. Welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 867 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know I've got another fun episode lined up for us. In today's podcast, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out. We'll talk more about those free seeds later on in today's show. Before we get too far, I do want to send a couple of shout-outs to a few of the great folks who support the show on Patreon. Let's kick it off with the big Grow From Your Heart podcast thank you shout-out to my good friend Mel. I want to send a fist bump and a thank you shout out to Shotgun Yoda. Let's send a big thank you shout out to Grapevine Grower. Then let's wrap it all up with a big Grow From Your Heart podcast thank you shout out to my friend Slowly Rolling Stoned. Big thanks and big shout out to everybody who supports the show on Patreon. If you are not already supporting the show and you would like to learn how to do so, all you have to do is visit www.patreon.com/growfromyourheart. All of the information you need will be right there on the screen. And once again, big thanks and big shout out to everybody who continues to support the podcast. I also want to remind you that the Grow From Your Heart podcast is teamed up with AC Infinity. That's right. I believe AC Infinity is the leader in grow room evolution. It is making growing easier and more fun for home growers. If you have not already checked out AC Infinity, I highly recommend you check out acinfinity.com. Use the link in the show notes or the video description. The next seeds that you buy from iRead Direct will be made in a full AC Infinity environment. That's right, the tent, the light, the blower, the fans, the controller, the entire room is AC Infinity. If I'm using it, I recommend you use it as well. That's where the seeds are made. Why not grow the seeds in the same environment? Check them out at acinfinity.com or use the link in the show notes in the video description and use coupon code IRE when you check out to save 10% off your full order at acinfinity.com. All right, I think that covers all of the business here at the start of the podcast. I do want to let you know that we made a few changes to the Discord server. That's right. We changed the rules and we added a new chat room. Along with that came a new gate to get into the Discord server. It appears that many people are hung up on that new rules gate. When you go to the IRE Army Discord server and it appears that you are stuck, click on that little box that says rules or new rules. I'm going to go look. I can't see it because I've already clicked on it. There's a new box that says rules. Click on those rules and re-click that you agree, and then you will be allowed into the server. It seems like many people are stuck on that age gate, on that new rule gate. If you can't get past that, send myself or another friend from Discord a message, and we will guide you through it. I miss you guys. I want to get everybody back on Discord. When we made the new rules, when we added the new chat, we had to add the new box, and that seems to be tripping a few people up. So the Discord did not go away. The Discord is still thriving. It's actually stronger and better than ever before. We made some new rules. We did some moderation. We did some updates. And I invite you to come join us on the Discord server. And if you lost it, come back. If you can't find it, send me a message. I will help you get to the Discord server. There will be a link in the show notes and in the video description. Once again, if you've been stuck, click on the part where it says rules and etiquette. That's actually what it says. Click on the new rules. That will get you right back on in there. Come join us in the Smokers Lounge. There is a new chat that is called the Gloves Off Lounge or the Gloves Off Chat. It is exactly as described. It is gloves off. People may say things to you that bother you in there, but you can say shit that bothers them right back in that chat. Keep it respectful. Keep it fun. It's all in good fun. But there are no rules in that chat. So if somebody pisses you off and says something weird, you just got to deal with it in there. If you're not into that, stay upstairs in the Smoker's Lounge, the Grower's Lounge. There are a lot of rules there. But be prepared for that gloves off lounge because it is exactly what it sounds like. All right, I've made the Discord update. We have talked about... Oh, the next thing I want to talk about. If you've been following along, you have heard that I've been working on some GMO reversals. That's right. I've got the Skunk Master Flex cut of the GMO plant. Quickly, that does not stand for garlic, mushroom, onions in any way. The reason that GMO is named GMO is because when that plant became popular... Also, at the same time, the Girl Scouts of America were selling their cookies, and it was discovered that those cookies were highly made with a lot of GMO products. There's a lot of genetically modified product going into the Girl Scout cookies. So the GMO plant is a Girl Scout cookies cross. It is ChemDog. I think it's Chem4. And the Girl Scout cookies, they bred that together to make a plant. A dude named Skunk Master Flex was growing it. He found a phenotype. that smelled super funky, and he called it GMO because the Girl Scout Cookies of America scandal had been so popular in the news. So the GMO idea kind of inspired the name to go with the GMO plant. It does not stand for garlic, mushroom, onions. Quit saying that. That's not real. It's because of the Girl Scouts of America controversy at the time. That's what that name came from. I love the plant. It grows really well. It grows kind of tall and stretchy, but you guys know that's the shit that I seem to like. It makes amazing concentrates. It makes super funky aromas and flavors, like this garlic, pungent, funky, dirty bar trash can, sort of a garlicky mashed potatoes sort of thing. I really love that aroma and flavor. I wanted to reverse the GMO and put that pollen on 9 different females. I had 9 ladies in a tent ready to rock. Everything looked like it was going well. You could see where I'm headed with this because I'm talking that it failed. Ladies and gentlemen, I used 3 different solutions of products to reverse the GMO. All of the reversals were successful. I got beautiful anthers, pollen sacks, if you will. I treated a female plant with 3 different clones of the same plant with 3 different solutions in an attempt to see which would work best for reversals. All 3 reversed the plant beautifully. Lots of male flower clusters on this female plant. Lots of pollen sacks, if you will, all over this plant. It looked ready to go. But one thing I noticed, it was not making any pollen. I let these plants go much longer than I've ever let reversals go before, and I did not get 1 single flake or dust of pollen out of the reverse GMO plants. They went for a long time. I gave up on them. I let them go, and I just put them in the dark. I thought, fuck it, we'll see what they do. They didn't even do anything after being left in the dark for several days. They turned really purple and looked really beautiful, but I did not get any pollen from the reversed GMO. So if you're out there working with GMO and you've reversed it and made pollen, share your secrets with me. I fucking give up. I'm not doing it again. I wasted too much time on that. But so the reverse GMO project did not work. A lot of people ask me, have you ever had reversals or breeding projects that just completely failed? Yes, reversed GMO was a complete waste of time. I've got 9 females in an AC Infinity tent that are ripe and ready for pollen, and that reversed GMO looked like it was going to give me pollen. It reversed. It made the pollen sacks. They were empty. His nuts were empty. No pollen at all. I put some on black paper and rubbed it around, and you could not find 1 flake of pollen on the black paper. Completely empty, dry, no pollen at all. So that was a failure. What I did, since I had a bunch of female plants that were ready to go, they were itching for pollen. It was prime time. I had some other pollen in the freezer. I grabbed that pollen. I let it adjust to room temperature before I used it. I didn't want to go sprinkling frozen pollen. That didn't seem smart. I put it on the table right here. I let the pollen warm up for several hours. Later on that night, I had a nice bag of pollen. Then I took that pollen and I sprinkled that bag of pollen all over the room. The pollen was a little bit old, so I'm not sure how well it took. Some of the pistils have turned brown and withered up. That could be because of the age of the plants. That could be because of the pollination. At this point, it's too early for me to tell if any seeds have formed, if the pollination took. However, if it did take, I will let you know which plant I used for that pollination. Right now, I don't want to tell you what pollen donor it was, because if it doesn't work, that's 2 times that I've hyped you up on a cross and let you down. So I'm not going to do that. But the update is that the GMO reversal simply did not give me any pollen. So all of those GMO reversals we were drooling over, we were excited about, not going to happen. I apologize. Shit happens. That's breeding life. As a breeder, as a grower, as a farmer, I understand that's fucking life. That's how it went. That's how it goes. Guess what? I'm going to gather my sticks and I'm going to move on and keep going and try again. I had a backup plan. I used other pollen. We'll see if that pollen was viable. If not, I get a whole 5x5 full of great flowers that Mike and I are going to get to smoke, and we will try again with a different plant in the near future. I know what the next crosses are going to be. I've got another feminized cross coming up. Then after that will be more golden goat crosses. But yes, it's just keep going, keep trying. So the reason for this was to let you know the GMO did not make any pollen. Those crosses are not coming. And then also just to share with you, not everything is a wild success. This was a crazy, miserable failure. Not miserable. There's no misery to it. It was heartbreaking watching these plants build these beautiful flowers and no pollen come out of them for days, and watching the girls go, hey, we want pollen so bad. And this guy's going, I just can't do it, bro. I just can't do it. That was heartbreaking. But bottom line, pollen didn't work. The next bottom line, going to keep moving forward. The crosses aren't coming. We adapt, we adjust, we overcome, we keep going. That's what we do in the Eyrie Army. All right, where are we? I feel like I covered that. We are covering a lot of ground very quickly here on this podcast. Did I remind you that there is a sale at eyriedirect.com? That's right. All orders, all seed orders over $100 do come with free shipping. That's right, iredirect.com. Get feminized seeds on sale for $25 a six-pack and regular seeds on sale for $10 a 10-pack. That's right. What? When you get them straight from the breeder when there's no middleman, we can definitely give you better deals, better prices. Check iredirect.com. I have said enough. Let's work our way into the question and answer portion of today's podcast. I know you guys come for the questions and answers, not the random rambles. This question came, I have a website. That website is iregenetics.com. On the top of that website, there is a row of tabs. One of those tabs does say grow help or grow questions. Click on that tab and send me a good grow question. If I read your question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds off my website, iredirect.com. Today's first question came from my new friend, Vince. Vince, good to meet you, bro. Great question. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. The question goes just a little bit like this. It says, hey, Rasta Jeff, I'm a new listener and a new subscriber. I just popped my first seeds in rapid rooters and I transplanted straight into 5-gallon fabric pots. All right, so you got your first seeds, they popped in the rapid rooters, then you popped them into 5-gallon fabric pots. All right, this makes sense. I understand. It says, my question, what is the benefit in transplanting into smaller pots first, and have I hindered my grow in any way by skipping the smaller pots? Thank you for your help, your new friend, Vince. Hey, Vince, this is a great question. Quickly, just to make you feel better right at the beginning, you did not hinder the plants in any way. I will talk about why we do this, the reasoning we do it, the pros and the cons, and then next time you can decide if it's something you want to do or not. The first reason I, myself, and most cultivation spaces, growers, areas prefer to go, we call it graduated pot size. I'll start off with a 6-inch net pot, maybe a small 1-gallon pot. So my clone comes out of the cloner or my seedling sprouts, goes into a 6-inch net pot or a 1-gallon pot. The reason I like that is because that little tiny pot only takes up this much space in my grow room. So while my plants are only 1 inch, 2 inches, 3, 5, 7, 8, 9 inches tall, I only need a 6-inch net pot, 1-gallon pot. That's probably 10 inches in diameter, 8 inches in diameter worth of space for that plant. I'm probably going to pop a 10-pack of seeds. So now I've got 10 small pots. If I put all of those pots in 5-gallon pots, or all those plants in 5-gallon pots, my 10-inch root zone now becomes, what is that, like 20 inches? It's probably 18 inches for a 5-gallon pot, at least 14 inches. I'm a drummer, so I'm going off snare drum size. It's about the same size of a snare drum, maybe a little bigger. You're looking at 14 or 16 inches. I'm able to fit those 10 1-gallons under a very tiny light in very little space. So the first advantage is the amount of space. I can get them all in a smaller space. Since they're in a smaller space, I can use less light because they're not spread out so far. They're all in one confined, contained area. So I'm using less space. As a grower, you're a new grower, it sounds like. Space will become very valuable to you. The more you grow, the longer you grow. The one thing a grower wants more of is more grow space constantly. So that real estate is very expensive. So the smaller pots for smaller plants give me more real estate. I don't have to waste big pot space for little tiny plants. Then I can cram more in there, and then I can veg more. And then if you're setting up a perpetual, it gives you more space. Space is the bottom line. Then the second issue is light. If I've got 10 pots in big fucking space, I need more light to cover that. That starts to get expensive. Now I'm running light, which costs energy. When I run that light, now I have to have a fan. Now I have to have possibly an air conditioner, a humidifier, a dehumidifier. The more space you use, the more light, the more gear, it starts compounding and getting more expensive quite quickly at that point. The next thing I think about is feeding and watering these plants. There's a couple things to think about. If your root zone is only this big, you only need this much water to saturate your plant and water it satisfactorily, to satisfaction. Fill in the words there, ad lib however you will, but you only need so much water to water this little space. There's a couple of advantages to that. Water costs money. The nutrients you are feeding those plants cost money. If you've got to feed a 1-gallon pot, you only need one portion of water. If you're feeding a 5-gallon pot, you need 5 times as much water. Hypothetically, that brings me to another issue. When that small plant is in that big root zone, in that big pot and all that soil, it's easy to overwater and flood that plant and drown it because you've got such a big root zone, such a big dirt area that you need to get water to the whole space where the roots are, but the roots aren't established and strong enough and big enough and going deep enough to handle all the water that you're giving it. So now you're creating issues with that. The soil is nice and saturated, but the plant is actually fucking struggling because it doesn't have the root zone to handle that much water. So in a smaller container, the roots would develop more and they would establish more and you wouldn't overwater as easily because you don't have, there's not much room for as much water. So it makes it easier to water, it makes it safer to water, and it saves you water and nutrients. So we're already saving light, air, water. Oh, and it doesn't take as much soil to fill that space. So if you need to, if you're on a budget, you're going to buy that soil next week, you can just let them grow in those small pots for a couple of weeks. Once they get bigger, start to get root bound, then put them into those bigger pots. So the first thing is space. The second thing is light. The next thing is watering and feeding them. You're going to need more water and more feeding. So your bottom line is, did I mess up by not graduating pots? What I prefer to do is I go from that clone into the 1 gallon. I let it grow until it's almost root bound in there. I like to, if I lift that pot off the plant, I like to see roots all over that pot. I like to see it nice and full. Then I'll take that 1 gallon and move it into either a 3, a 5, or a 7. In this situation, just like you, I'm going to go to a 5. I would fill up my 5 gallon pot, and then I would take the pot that the plant is in, and I would plop that pot right into my new pot, follow along, it makes sense, and bury around that pot. What I'm doing now is making a template of where that pot is going to go. Then I take that pot out of the dirt and remove the pot off the root ball. Then I grab the root ball from the bottom, and I kind of stick my fingers in there and pull that root ball apart a little bit. Those roots in that dirt are super tight in that pot. They've kind of grown into there. They've made this nice, perfect cylinder shape, just like the pot they came out of. I want to grab that and disrupt that. I want to break that a little bit up. Then I want to put that into my new soil, and I want to leave maybe a half inch exposed out of the new soil. I don't want to bury that whole thing. I want to leave, excuse me, I'm burping and trying to fight through this, but I want to save about a half inch exposed because that is a good space for air to get to my plant. If I do overwater, those roots can receive oxygen through that top little layer of soil there. I will not drown the plant. So I dig that hole, I make the little template hole, take the pot off, break up that soil a little bit, and then just plop that right into that hole and leave it up just a little bit, just a fraction of an inch, maybe a half of an inch, just to leave a little bit of airspace for that for those roots. Then I backfill it and then I water it just like that. But my reason for breaking up those roots a little bit is I believe that that encourages them. They've been going into that pot and wrapping around and spinning and just trying to find somewhere to go. They filled all the space within that pot, within that soil. If I break them up a little bit, it kind of encourages them. It goes, hey, we can go play, guys. We've been freed up a little bit. And they start traveling different directions, and it'll fill your soil, your container, much more evenly and much more rapidly if you break them up a little bit, give it a little head start, give it some encouragement. So I fill the pot with dirt most of the way, put that pot with the plant in it in there, fill it up around the pot, make myself a nice template, take that out, pull the pot off the plant, break up the roots a little bit, plop that in there, and then just bury it kind of nice and not snug, not tight, just pack it in there, and just brush the dirt over it. Don't cover that top. You might see just a little ring right at the top in the middle. That's your little air area. And then I mix up a decent feed. I'll do a basic base mix, maybe a light CalMag, a little bit of liquid karma. Depends on if you're going to put potassium silicates in there or not. That's up to you. But at this point, I would definitely feed some sort of root inoculant, some sort of microbes. Of course, I'm going to recommend Recharge. Shout out to my buddy Scotty Real. But get some microbes in there and get those roots growing. You got a really good opportunity to feed those roots and get them going shebang right now. So that is my basic how I transplant, and that is why, because I don't want to waste all that space. The plant's only this big. Why do I need a pot this big for it? Wait till the plant gets this big, then give it a pot this big. I think it'll really help out, save you some space, water, time, energy. Maybe you can build a continuum with all your free prizes. My friend Vince, I think I've answered your question quite well. Make sure you check your inbox and check your spam because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, we've got some good momentum going. Now is a good time to remind you to click like and subscribe. That's right. If you enjoy the podcast, please click like and subscribe. And also leave a comment because that definitely does help the algorithm. All right, this next question also came from the Grow Help tab on iregenetics.com. This one came from a friend who wants to be called BlackRay3K. Big shout out to my new friend, BlackRay3K. Check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds. The question goes a little bit like this. It says, hey, Rasta Jeff, I appreciate all the knowledge you have been dropping on us. Hey, I'm glad you're here for it. It says, my question is about organic versus synthetic nutrients. This is a very good question and a great debate. It says, which one is best for home growers to use and with what growing medium? This is a very good question. I am a little bit biased, but let me try to stay even here and not biased at all and stay objective and give you some solid advice. Both work very well for you. Both will work very well for home growers. Both will give you very great results. It is kind of what you prefer. There is no better or best. There is not a better or best. When it comes to synthetic or organic, there are pros and cons to both. The pros, I think, to synthetic nutrients are you can buy a bunch of bottles from the grow store and you can go to the website. Let's just say you went to the store and you bought Botanicare. You bought 5 bottles of Botanicare nutrients. You can go home and you can go to the website, type in Botanicare nutrient calculator, and it will show you on week 1, feed 10 milliliters of this per gallon, feed 5 mils of this per gallon. On week 2, feed this and this and this. On week 3, so the advantage, the pros to bottled nutrients is you can go to the store and buy everything you need in a bottle, go to the website and find a recipe week by week that will work for your garden and you will have a successful grow. That's a huge pro. It's that easy. They hold your hand. They sell you the shit. They tell you how much to put in, how often to do it. You do it. If you pH it correctly and feed it like they say, it works every time. Repeatable process, repeatable results. That is the pro, my favorite pro to bottled nutrients. You can go to the store. When you buy bottled nutrients, it's the same thing every time. It's there all the time. You can order it all the time. It's reliable, repeatable processes and results. That's my favorite thing. That is the pro. The cons, it's not organic. You're paying for water to be shipped across the country. You're buying bottles of water, shit that is mixed with water, and you're paying for it. Also, it's not organic. Let's talk about the pros and cons of organic. A lot of people like the pro of organic because of the word organic. It means it comes from the earth, it is healthy, it gives us the idea that it's safer and cleaner. Organic just basically means that it is carbon-based. So now let's talk about the cons of organic. Cyanide's organic, and it can fucking kill you. So don't get too caught up in the word organic. In this case, when we're going to talk about organics, we're going to focus more on the products and the idea of building an organic product and not the buzzword of it's natural, so it's better for me. Because like I said a moment ago, if we put cyanide in our weed, it's not going to be good. So let's just focus on the organic construction. We're not being sold by the it's better because it's organic. We're going to use the natural version, like the building blocks, naturally version organic for this conversation. I hope that makes any sense to you because it barely makes sense in my fucking head. So organic. I like the organic idea because depending on which method, there are so many different methods you want to take to you could take to this. You could go to the store and you could buy boxes of all the meal, the bone meal, blood meal, fish meal, kelp meal. You could go get all that stuff. That is organic. To that, you're going to pre-mix all of your soil and let that cook, and then you'll put the plants in there, and that stuff will become bioavailable over time. So that is how the organics are going to work. For your bottled nutrients, you're going to feed today, and basically what you feed today, those plants are going to start eating that today. With the organics, you got to let it break down. It's got to become bioavailable to the plants. The bottled nutrients have what are called chelates and buffers inside of them. Those chelates basically force your plant to eat. So with the organics, the roots roam around and go, hey, there's minerals and nutrients and vitamins and shit that I need over here. Ooh, look, nitrogen. Ooh, phosphorus, potassium. I'm going to eat some of that. And then it goes, oh, I'm hungry. I've had a lot of phosphorus. There's some here, but I'll kind of wait until I need that. We'll metabolize that later. When you're feeding the bottled nutrients, the plant goes, ah, shit, phosphorus. I'm going to take all that. Just because the way that it's chelated, the way that it's processed in that bottle, the way that it's formulated, the roots touch it and the roots go, I'm supposed to eat this. And they just take it up right away. So there's pros and cons there. With the organics, you're going to mix your nutrients all into that, mostly into that soil, depending on how you do it. That's why I'm talking about the so many methods. If you go buy all the boxes, you pre-mix it, make sort of a super soil sort of an idea out of your organics. That's going to cook and it's got to release over time. And your plant, if it's not in there, if you did not already put it in there, it's not going to be in there for your plants. It's going to take a little while for your plant. If you do feed a tea or a top dress, it's going to take a while for the plants to notice that. If I'm feeding bottled nutrients, they're going to notice right away very quickly. If I'm feeding a soilless mix, I'll see results 2 to 3, maybe 5 days. If I'm feeding cocoa, I may see results within 4 to 6 hours, maybe even quicker, depending on how badly I fucked up feeding those plants. So there are a lot of pros and cons. The chelation is a big difference. It's like, it's sort of like eating a big healthy meal or taking a bunch of steroids. The organics is like eating. You got a plate of food in front of you. You just keep eating, and you eat, and you get what you need. With the bottled nutrients, it's like I'm just shooting the minerals and the nutrients and the vitamins directly into your neck, and you're fucking getting them if you need it or not. You're going to get too much of something. You're going to get possibly overloaded on something, and you might see some detrimental effects. So that's the kind of the differences on organics and synthetics. I prefer, and this is just me, I run fully bottled nutrient systems, a lot of dry nutrient, powder nutrients, but I do the synthetics. The salt system is my way to go. The reason I do that is because I learned very strongly in a commercial production environment. And a lot of times I'm teaching other dudes how to do this. I'm the cultivation leader. I got a group of dudes that are going to mix up these nutrients. When I'm not there, there are going to be guys mixing up these solutions and feeding the plants. So like I said earlier, I need to be able to write a recipe on Monday, feed it. Like, you're going to mix up 500 gallons of water and put this many milliliters of base nutrients, this much CalMag, this much Bloom Booster, this much Silicium. Oh, excuse me for the burps. But I want to write down a recipe that the guys at the grow or the gals at the grow can repeat to perfection on a daily basis. And in a commercial environment, I need to be able to adjust on the fly. If I see that this room is doing something weird, I need to be able to feed it and correct it. Organics is just not my way for a commercial environment. Many people out there do it successfully, and they do it very well. It's just not how I prefer to do it. They're mixing up their super soil, their living soil before they even put plants in it. They're letting that cook for a little bit. They plant the plants, and the plants live in that soil forever. They don't ever have to get fed any bottled nutrients. But if that mix is not right at the beginning, you're screwed all the way through. You're going to be mixing up teas and chasing it and trying to find solutions. So in a commercial environment, I think that for a large-scale production, for me, the bottled nutrients are just easier and more repeatable. Every time, there's the same amount of everything in those bottles. In the organics, if you're making ferments, if you're making teas, depending on how much of what you put in, you could get highly variable results. But that's not as critical because your plants are going to take that up as it needs it. So there are pros and cons. I keep saying there are pros and cons. I'm going to tell you there's no better. Neither one is best or least or less than is what I think I'm trying to say. They're both great. It's all about your approach. How do you want to do it? Do you want to do like fermented fruit juices and fruit extracts and shit like that to feed your plants, which I'm not knocking it. It sounds like a lot of fun. I have a couple friends who are into Jadam, and my buddy's like, bro, I was out hiking today and I came across a whole bunch of whatever flowers, and I cut a bunch of them, put them in a bag, brought them home, made a fucking tea out of them and fed it to my plants. And I'm like, that's actually pretty cool. Like, that's much more sustainable than what I'm doing. I've got to go to the store and buy shit. So if the store runs out of shit, I can fall back on those organics. But I don't know how to do it right now. But my buddies that are doing the organics, they're already doing it. One friend that I do have that grew organically with organics for several years, since I met him, he's been growing organics. Then our friends at New Millennium gave him a box set of all the New Millennium nutrients, and he ran it. And the first thing he said to me was that he wished he had all of the weed he had been shorting himself by running organics. He was quite impressed with the size of the yield. He improved his yield quite a bit by shifting to the bottled nutrients. That was the only thing that he mentioned was different. He's like, bro, I wish I had all the weed I've been shorting myself all of these years. I'm not going to call you out, bro. You know who you are. Still a great grower. He's actually running a commercial facility now, and I'm pretty sure it's all on bottles and not organic. So he shifted, went from the organics to the bottles. I am rambling. Let me check my notes here. I said cyanide is organic. Don't get caught up on buzzwords. If you're going to grow organically, make sure that there's a reason behind it. Make sure that you didn't just choose it for hippie nonsense reasons. Also, the organics is much more long-term and sustainable. If you want to do this forever, if you want to do this when Babylon falls and the lights go out and you're relying on the sun and mixing our own nutrients, the organic way will still be viable. I won't be able to go to the grow store and buy a bottle of liquid karma. I'm going to have to learn how to make that shit on my own, which I got all you hippie friends for that. Thank you. I'll trade you seeds for some knowledge. But that's one of the big advantages. When Babylon falls, when the trucks quit running, when the stores are gone, Jadam will be Jadaming still. It's sustainable. That's the best part of the organics, in my opinion. And you don't have to keep going and buying bottles. I'm getting bottles shipped to me and there's water in them, and that feels a little bit ridiculous. Both can have repeatable results if you understand what you're doing. I can't repeat the results in the organics because I don't know what I'm doing yet. So I think I've been rambling long enough. The question is, my question, organic, which one is best? And with what growing medium? Neither one is best. They are both equally awesome. You can mix them, but when you mix them, you're not organic anymore, because organic means when you're growing organically, it means you haven't added those synthetic salts. As soon as you add that, no longer organic. The word synganic is not a thing. Organic means you don't have the synthetics in it. Just say I mixed the two. Don't say synganic. People are going to comment on that. You already know what I'm talking about. I think I've been rambling on about this one for long enough. I'm trying to pull more info out of my head because I know I got more to say. The teas are fun. I love brewing up a good tea. You can feed a compost tea to your synthetic mix if you want. Add those organics in there. But the organics are beautiful. Especially, see, I'm a city boy. Maybe that's part of my thing. I'm a city boy. My neighbors can hear me fucking recording this podcast right now with three different directions. That side, and the folks behind me. They've heard every fucking episode, every edit. They know the whole podcast by now. I'm a city boy. Growing with bottled nutrients in the city just seems to be a little bit easier for me. If I had some land, a more private backyard where I could do some shit, I may work on some organics and do it that way. If I were growing outdoors, I would probably go organically if I grew outdoors. I would do a full hippie organic style. But indoor, commercially, production-wise, I feel like bottled nutrients are the way to go. My dude, Black Ray 3K, bro, you got me rambling pretty good. Thank you for the great question. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps and hoes, friends and foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts out there, I do want to thank you once again for listening to another quick episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. If you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, you know I would love to hear from you. My email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Of course, if you have grow questions, do use that Grow Help tab at iregenetics.com. Anything else you could possibly need is on my website, iregenetics.com. There's a link to the Patreon server. There's a link to the Discord server. There's a link to iredirect to get the seeds. Everything is at iregenetics.com. Once again, don't forget to come back to the Discord server if you got lost in the shuffle, if you got lost on the new rules, if you need some help, please do reach out. I miss my friends out there on Discord. Also, this wasn't the shout out that I had written down, but my dude Doobie, I haven't heard from you in a minute. I hope you're well. Reach out, bro. Let me know that you're well. I miss you, brother. I hope everything is good. Doobie was on Discord all the time. Haven't seen him in a minute. Fucking miss you, bro. That's right. I make friends on there. You guys are not just the Irie Army. You guys are close homies, and I wonder where my dude went. Anyway, join the Discord. Pop in, and once again, enter at your own risk in that fucking gloves off chat. Like and subscribe. That's right. Like and subscribe and argue down in the comments. Keep this conversation going in the comments section for that algorithm. All right. That is all I've got for this episode. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to Taxidermy Kitten. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Take another dab, grab your piece in and I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab, sit back, poke them up, we relax.
Hold up. Roots and wisdom start to show from the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe, Rasta Jeff in our conscious tribe. He spreads the truth in every word, every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis, grow from your heart, cure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way, grow from your hearts every day. In the light we stand real strong, join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love flows within us like a dove. Educate and elevate, join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth, in the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through, in this garden find the new. Rise up higher, find your way, grow from your hearts every day. In the light we stand real strong, join the movement. Open
lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find a new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart.